This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Melbourne Queer Film Festival, for all film lovers. This MQFF podcast is proudly supported by Joy 94.9.
I'm here chatting today with Laura Scrivano, who is the director of the short film The Language of Love, which is screening as part of the Australian Shorts Package, or the Oz Shorts, at the upcoming Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm good, good. For the uninitiated, can you tell us a little bit about your film?
Yes. So The Language of Love is a film that was part of a project called The Voices Project, which was about giving young writers a voice on stage and on screen. And The Language of Love came about because we, myself as director and Dan Pritchard as producer, were part of a panel that was running a competition about having young writers sort of get their voice and story out there. And we got a really amazing submission from then 16-year-old called Kim Ho, who wrote a sort of three-minute piece about being in love with his best friend, and his best friend happened to be a boy, and he happened to be going to an all-boys school. And it was so sort of beautifully and originally written that Kim went on to, you know, be one of the winners of that competition. And then from there, he kind of worked with myself and a writing mentor, Tommy Murphy, who's quite a well-known playwright and screenwriter, to expand it, I guess, into a kind of fully-fledged short film that's now sort of 9 minutes long. The film is essentially about a young man coming to terms with his sexuality in one of the most pressured environments you could imagine, which is his HSC French exam, when, like a bolt from the blue, it hits him that he's in love with his best friend and he has to decide whether or not to tell him.
It is a very cute and very sweet story. I'm really impressed with the acting. Can you tell me a little bit about the casting?
In the past, when I've done some work on similar projects, we had cast professional actors. In this case, I actually chose to cast Kim, who's also the writer, who was 17 at the time of shooting. And the reason for that was kind of twofold. One was that I really wanted him to look like a teenager, and I knew that we were going to shoot very close up, and I didn't want a 21-year-old portraying a 16-year-old. Yeah. I wanted it to feel really authentic and speak to the audience, you know, speak to a young audience who might be going through some similar stuff. So that was one of the really big reasons. And then the other reason was, even though Kim had never acted on screen before, he'd done some school plays and some theatre, I kind of got an inkling that he sort of had it in him, and that he had the ability to go where the piece required him to go. So we spent, I think, 3 days. We spent quite a lot of time in rehearsal, much more than I would have with a professional actor, just to really kind of both sort of give Kim the confidence in a technical sense, but also get him to be in a place where he felt, you know, safe and was able to sort of trust me and the crew, and was therefore able to sort of go to the vulnerable places that the film required him to go to. He did a pretty amazing job. I mean, we shot in one day, he's a pretty amazing guy. So it was really fun to shoot, and he did a really great job handling what could have been a really, you know, difficult and very intimidating task for non-actor, essentially.
Yeah, he really does. And I wonder if his relationship to the material as a writer has got something to do with that. I mean, he's just such a natural, and it just seems so kind of heartfelt that, it feels more than acting to me. It feels like sort of telling a story.
Yeah, I think that's definitely it. And that was one of my reasons for casting him. It was that I said, you know, you've written this piece and you have access to it from a writer's point of view, that another actor, particularly, a 16 or 17-year-old actor, wouldn't have access to those kind of emotions in those places. And, I think that gives him a real insight into where to take the piece. And, Yeah, it's got a real. I mean, and I certainly went for that as a director as well. I wanted it to be completely, you know, almost documentary-like naturalism in the way he portrays it. And so we worked quite hard at taking out. And if you look back, I think it's online, the piece that Kim initially submitted, which he also acts in, there's a lot of sort of theatricality and artifice and acting, capital A acting, going on. One of my big things was to strip all that away and to really get down to the kind of nuts and bolts of the emotional core of the film.
Yeah, well, you've done a fantastic job. Tell us a little bit about your filmmaking background. How did you get into making films?
I actually came from a directing background, so I've been doing film for about 3 years now, and I started off as a theatre director. I started directing theatre when I was at uni, so 1920, and I worked for Sydney Theatre Company for 7 years, kind of doing research and writing work, and then also did some directing work with them and with other companies around Sydney and a lot of independent companies, and had shows go down to Melbourne and up to Brisbane, and that was sort of my life, kind of doing freelance directing and then working, you know, 3 days a week at Sydney Theatre Company. And then what happened was kind of strange, I'd done some film in my undergraduate, and then at the time that I was at Sydney Theatre Company, Kate Blanchett and Andrew Upton were the artistic directors, and they wanted to increase the video presence online for Sydney Theatre Company. And so somehow I ended up being the director of all the online content. And so I directed trailers and behind-the-scenes video packages. And it really got me excited about film. And so I went off and kind of made a short film in 2010. It did quite well and went to a bunch of festivals. And I guess kind of got bitten by the kind of film directing bug, and I went to the Australian Film Television Radio School in 2012, and so after graduating from there, I still work doing some theatre, but I pretty much solely work as a freelance filmmaker now, and I love it. So, you know, I'm really lucky to have kind of to be able to direct across a bunch of mediums.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both mediums are, you know, very collaborative. But I guess the main difference between, say, theatre and film is that, you know, theatre, when the performance is happening, is a very immediate type of things, whereas film is a little bit more forgiving in terms of, you know, being able to reshoot scenes and that sort of thing. How are you finding that transition?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the big things. I find sometimes the speed in which you have to shoot these days, you sometimes don't have the luxury to shoot as much as maybe you used to. But I think my theatre work really informs my film work. Like, I love working with actors. I love collaborating with actors. And I sort of come at stories from, I guess, that place. And so that's really been a big part of my film work and the way in which I see film, which I think is quite different to filmmakers who come from a, you know, photography or, you know, creative writing or, you know, like other background.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, a lot of my process for theatre and film is actually very similar until you get into pre-production and you're shooting, because that's when it kind of, you know, shooting is this weird amalgamation of rehearsals plus performance, but with no audience. And, and you know, it's really strange. Early on, I used to say to people that editing, like the editing process, the post-production process, is actually the closest to theatre for me, like in some ways, because what you do in rehearsals and what you, you know, is you know, create the sequences and the storylines and the characters and all of that stuff. And whereas shooting is sort of you getting the raw material and then you do that kind of... you do the kind of putting together of the story in the edit suite. So, yeah, it's a lot of my process in terms of working with actors and telling stories is very similar, but obviously the technical stuff is radically different.
Yes, yes. Now, there's a bit of a backstory involving a couple of celebrities with your film. Is that right?
But yes, that is correct. Yeah, we were... So unlike a lot of shorts, unlike most of my other shorts, which are not online because they've been doing festivals, because The Language of Love was done as part of the Voices Project, and it was about reaching audiences, it went online on YouTube and Vimeo first, before anything else happened. And thanks to our amazing producer, Dan Pritchard, he got the film, you know, really wanted to get lots of people to watch the film, so he got it out on social media, and particularly on Twitter, where I think it was first Stephen Fry saw it and tweeted it, and then, you know, our views started going a little bit nuts. and that was really exciting because I'm a big Stephen Fry fan, so I was a little bit, like, geek excited by that.
Don't blame me.
And then, you know, it had this kind of really amazing momentum online straight away, and it sort of, you know, 300,000 views or, you know, whatever it was quite quickly. And you know, the comments we got were amazing from the audience, from audiences who were watching. And then I guess it was quite a few months after the initial launch. I can't remember exactly, you know, it was maybe 2 months or something. You know, and Dan had been really keen to, you know, get it to a bunch of other kind of international kind of queer celebrities in particular to get it out, so it was getting out to the right audience. And so then there was sort of Matt Lucas from Little Britain, he tweeted it, and then, of course, the icing on the cake was when Ellen DeGeneres tweeted it and Facebooked it, and that's when I really understood the power of
social media
because our views went up 10,000 views every 5 minutes.
Wow, that is incredible.
For a day, and it was amazing, like just watching the numbers, you know, like, who are these people? How are they watching it this fast? So it just had this real, it went completely viral pretty much from that,
from that point.
And it's been you know, really lovely having you know, amazing actors and writers and performers kind of saying how much they enjoyed the film.
Yeah, congratulations. It's incredible stuff. One last question before we finish up. What are your future filmmaking plans? Do you have any projects in the pipeline as we speak, or are you still kind of travelling with this one?
It's a bit of both. I'm in the States, obviously, at the moment. I'm in LA. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on my first feature film at the moment. So I'm scripting that, as well as doing some other short form. I've got another short film in the pipeline and a music video that those things just kind of tick over. But this film is still doing a lot. Last month I went to Sundance with the film because it was showcased there as part of YouTube's program of events. So that was amazing. I got to, you know, it was an incredible festival and I got to, you know, meet everyone who was there. And then I think I'm going, because I'm in the States, the film's also in Annapolis, so I'm going to go to that. And it's obviously still doing a lot of festivals in Australia as well. So, yeah, I'm kind of still doing stuff with this, plus the main aim is to try and get this feature happening in the next, as soon as possible, really.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted. That sounds fantastic. And congratulations on The Language of Love.
Thank you.
Wish you well with it. I've been chatting to Laura Scrivano, who's the director of The Language of Love, which is screening as part of the Australian Shorts package and in the running for the $3,000 cash prize for Best Short Film. So good luck with that, Laura, and thanks for chatting to us.
Melbourne Queer Film Festival, 13th to the 24th of March 2014. Visit mqff.com.au for more information. This MQFF podcast is proudly supported by Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.